Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe and Raheel here with you until 6 o'clock. Let's talk some Houston Texans. So they're above 500. They're in the thick of it now in the playoff race. The AFC playoff race has gotten very competitive. And it looked for Raheel for a lot of times on Sunday. It looked like it was going to be a very good day for the Houston Texans. For at least if you're looking from like the wild card perspective. It looked like the Chiefs were going to lose. We knew like the Steelers lost. And you beat the Bills. Jacksonville is 7-4, but I don't think anyone really believes in them. But that game was close in the 4 o'clock window, in the 3 o'clock window between the Cardinals. But at the moment, the Houston Texans sit as the 9 seed in the AFC, but they're only 2 games back of the Colts.
With 2 games left with the Colts.
Yes. So yeah. What are you rooting for like the Texans to make the playoffs? Like, do you think is it the division? You know, which is only obviously one spot to make the playoffs, or are you kind of watching what's going on every Sunday and Thursday and Monday of what's happening with the wild card teams?
I'm rooting for the division. Yeah. That would be the best case. You control your own destiny, right? There's no other watching, none of that stuff, right? So you beat the Colts straight up, they would have 5 losses, and if everything goes perfect, that means you're winning out for the rest of the season, you would have the same 5 losses, and you would have the tiebreaker 2 wins, right? So you get in, right? Unless I'm missing something there, right?
That's it.
I never know with these playoff algorithms and stuff, but when that one is clear cut, right? Because Jacksonville would be 7-4.
Could complicate it because you split with them this year. So like if you all ended up with, let's just say 5 losses on the season, that won't happen. But so let's say you all end up with 6 losses on the season, but you beat the Colts twice. Like Jacksonville could make that complicated.
Okay, so there's a chance they don't even win the division. But if you win out, right, that's a great record first and foremost. You would be, I think you're in the picture no matter what.
Yeah.
But I'm aiming for the division. Get that, and then I think you'll be in the wild card picture regardless. And again, you'll have Kansas City coming. You have Kansas City coming up, so you can control your destiny again. You beat them. You have a tiebreaker over them. Mm-hmm. You currently have that tiebreaker anyways, based on percentages in conference games. But that's going to change so much. There's still so much football left to be played. I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to win the division, and it was a rough start. There have been moments where things are bad. Looks like CJ Stroud not playing again, right? From D'Amico's press conference, it sounded like not going to happen.
I think
the way he answered it, if you haven't seen it or heard it, he was just like kind of annoyed.
Yeah, I think he. So CJ Stroud and Jalen Petrie are both still in concussion protocol. Now, like Aaron Wilson has reported that both are expected to clear protocol for this weekend. The last thing they really need to do is they need to be part of a padded practice. That's the last thing. CJ coming back was the first step. The last step is being part of a padded practice. Like, we'll have a much better picture on Wednesday, with tomorrow being a day off for the Texans. I think CJ will play this weekend, which you need him. Like, you need him to beat the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
And I'm with you. Like, I think the division's your best path forward, but as you're saying, like, you control your destiny, not just through the division, but also through the playoffs. Like, you play the Chiefs, you beat Jacksonville once. You also play the Chargers this year. Like, that to me, that Week 17 game is massive. They're 7-4 right now. Their schedule's a little bit easier, but I've been one where, like, I'm not really a believer in the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And they hung tough with the Chiefs this year, but the Chiefs have not played great football. But the Colts' remaining schedule is the Texans, who are now above 500, the Jags at 7-4. They play the Seahawks, who are one of the best teams in the NFC. They play the 49ers, who are fully healthy or getting fully healthy and have Brock Purdy. They play Jacksonville again, and then they play Houston again. The Colts' schedule is brutal. Like, if they go, like, I think they're probably looking at 3-3 along the way, which puts them at 11 wins on the year. So, like, yeah, you have to win out to get to 11-5, but like, it wouldn't shock me if they end up going 2-4 because they lose to both Seattle and San Francisco. So it's very clear, like, it's in your hands. Like, you can make a run, especially because you have the Raiders, who have now fired their second coordinator this season. They fired their special teams coordinator 2 weeks ago. They fired Chip Kelly last night. They're going to some guy who is his third time being the interim Raiders offensive coordinator.
That's
at some point.
That's the life right there.
Yeah, like, just keep being the interim guy, I guess. Like, You're never the bride, but you're always the bridesmaid, but you're also
still
bride.
Have a position in the organization.
Yeah, but he's been with like three different coaches and keeps getting promoted to OC. So that's fine. But I mean, the Texans, I think the easiest path for them would be is to hope on the Colts' downfall.
Here we go. At Colts, how you feeling? With CJ. Let's go. CJ's healthy. Petrie's healthy. Everyone's good.
I think they're going to win.
Okay. Cardinals at home.
Win.
Raiders at home.
Win.
Win. I'm going to try to go to that game.
Which one? The Raiders
12-21. Yeah. A little pre-Christmas week action. At Chargers.
I think they'll win that game.
That one might be a tough one.
Because they're missing both their tackles.
But that's 4 weeks away. They're done for the season?
One of them, yeah, they're both done for the season.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, both of them are done for the season.
Okay.
So, I look at, you got to split the Colts series, and if you beat Kansas, and I think you probably lose to the Chiefs. Like, even though they haven't played great this year, it's still Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm still going to pick the Chiefs in that game. But I think the Texans can go 4-2.
At the Chiefs, sorry. I forgot that one. That is on 12-7, not the Cardinals one. I missed that one.
So, I would say
4-2.
Beat the Colts, lose to the Chiefs. Beat the Cardinals, beat the Raiders, beat the Chargers, lose to the Colts, or just somehow split with the Colts.
But that last game is at home, could be for the playoffs.
Yes. It could be a playoff game.
It's very possible that is a win and you're in situation.
Yeah.
We saw how awesome NRG was.
Which, shocked me.
Yeah.
Because it was, and I know the season has turned around a little bit, but, compared to where it was versus the 49ers, versus the Broncos, it's all those fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills game last year was all Bills fans. And it looked like it was a lot this year as well, but you just dominated that game and shut them down.
Because the Battle Red. So you need to make Battle Red your everyday uniform.
I saw you say that.
That should be your everyday uniform.
They're sick.
They're amazing. They're the best color combo that captures the city.
Mm-hmm. I
the candy paint helmet.
Yes.
The Battle Red. People get excited for it. And if you wear it every day, are they still going to be excited? Yes, they will be. It's better than just that boring blue and Liberty white.
Do you like the new jerseys?
They're okay.
They're okay.
They're jerseys.
I liked them when they first came out, but they've kind of worn off.
I like the team, the Color Rush one with the outline blue, with the Oiler blue or whatever they call it.
Houston blue.
The Houston tile blue. It's Oiler blue. Just admit it. I like the way that one looks in person. It looks that if I would buy, and I wanted to buy one of those Texans jerseys, the Color Rush ones. Is that what they're still called? Color Rush or Team Edition?
I think it's the Team Edition.
City Connects or whatever they're called. I like those the best, looking if I was wearing it for me as a fan.
Yeah.
But I think on TV, with just the way it looks, the way they swarm with the red on, man. Aziz Alshire looks amazing in all reds. I don't know, just him with that number zero. Just taking a quarterback's head off, man.
I mean, little cheap shot.
Hey, man.
But it's this season.
Paid his fines. He paid his dues. It's all good.
I think a message. I'm surprised the season is at where it's at.
Same here.
The way the offenses looked this year, I didn't think that they would get back to 500. I didn't think they would beat Buffalo. But that defense, as you said, it's elite. It's the best defense in the NFL. And that game against Josh Allen showed that they can win pretty much any game. And that's what they've done all year. Look what's happening right now with the Rams. I know it's week one. And I know Keith from LA was texting about the Rams being a championship contender. Yeah, that's a legit team. That's a Super Bowl contender this year. Matt Stafford has thrown 25 touchdowns in a row since his last interception. He's thrown 30 touchdowns and two picks this year. And the Texans only lost to them by 5 points. They only lost to the Buccaneers, who were playing much better at the time, by a point. You lose to Jacksonville by 7 points. You lose to the Broncos by 3 points. You've had a lot of unfortunate luck go your way this year. And you go back to those first three games of the season. It's Adari Ogunbowale fumbles as you're getting in position to score and try to take the lead against the Rams. You get the lead against Tampa Bay. Henry To'o cannot tackle Bucky Irving in open space or Baker Mayfield. And then the following week against Jacksonville, you're in position to take the lead or to tie the game again, and Nico Collins fumbles. So the first three games of the season, I do think if they miss the playoffs this year, that's what's all about. You lost to Seattle, you lost to Denver. Those are two good football teams. They literally dropped the ball twice this year.
If they
with a chance,
and if they still rally and make a push for it and miss it by a game or two, maybe a game, let's say, I still think that's a win of a season, because the way that season started, it could have been bad. It could have been rough, and it was rough from a fan's perspective. You're like, why am I watching this?
Yeah,
it's the same old story every single time. But as a fan, just watch every week. I get excited for the Texans to still play. I'm so happy where they are. And it's kind of weird that we're a city where we get made fun of if you're a fan of the Texans. I don't know if you've noticed this. I've noticed trend where media personalities, if you're not working at 610, right, everyone makes fun of you. Like, look at you. You're a Texans Karen and this and that.
Yeah.
That's the only city that does that. Right? Am I wrong? Like in Chicago, when I go to Chicago and listen to sports radio there, just the other stations aren't making fun of diehard fans. When I go to Dallas, when I go to New Orleans, when I go to Denver, right? All these cities, nobody's getting made fun of for having hope about their team. We're the only city that does this. It is so weird that we're not allowed to root for our teams because people on Twitter and people on sports radio, not y'all.
Yeah.
I don't think you're guilty of that. I don't think you are.
I listen to you.
I don't think you are. But a lot of people and personalities, for whatever reason, will do this thing like make fun of you for having hope in your NFL team.
Yeah. The only time like I think I've ever done that is the Culley era. Like during David Culley.
It was
like,
bad. Yeah, it's I'm
like,
good
it's
with
like
that
if
one.
Like, if you have like hope that David Culley and Davis Mills, a third round pick, are going to like lead you to the promised land, like I'll sell you whatever I can because like you're buying anything that is Houston Texans related.
I'm with you.
But, like I think it's strange. I think there's a lot of things. Like I think there are just some weird dynamics. I love this city. I love the fans of these teams, and like that's one of the dynamics I don't understand of like where it's like there's a group of people like our Twitch is notorious for this, of course. But like where it's just like, they hate everything Texans. And it's like, why? Like that it's your football team.
I get it. The Easterby era was not good for the team.
Yeah.
That I lost faith in that team. I was like, ooh, I'm out. Like
well
I can't like everything they did, the Bill O'Brien era, they won games, they got to the playoffs, they win one and they'd lose, right? Like there was really no hope. But even with that, even with the down years, right, you still get made fun of for being a fan. Like I want to see my team win, but I'm gonna be realistic.
Yeah.
Right, like during the Culley era, I was realistic. I didn't watch all the games towards the back end of the year because I knew this team wasn't good. But now this team, I get it was a slow start. They have a chance to make the playoffs. Still got to control. You still got to win a lot of games. But it's weird that people make fun of you for that. It's the strangest thing we do. I can't think of another city. If I'm wrong, you can tweet me at @_Raheel or send me a DM on Instagram at Raheel Doing Things. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. I know we got some phone calls coming in about it.
Yeah. AJ, I can't see the name on the screen.
The man with no name. But we have Eric coming up at 4:15.
Yeah. Let's get to Gary real quick.
All right.
And then we'll get to Eric on the other side. Gary, what's going on, man?
Hey, quickly, I think because the Houston Texans, because every year, even the Cleveland Browns, when we come out of preseason, I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, everybody believes we're 0-0. Everybody believes they're going to go to the Super Bowl. You just mentioned the statement you made a little earlier unconsciously saying that I think we can make it, but if we don't make it, but if we do make it, you give yourself a landing spot. We want our heart broken. Say, I'm a Cowboy fan. I believe every year they're going to make it. They don't. It hurts. It's crushed. We get up and we go back at it. No fan is realistic. So that's the thing. That's why it's called fanatic. But I think they just like you guys. Not me. I love the Texans. That's my second best team. I just think they'll just go all in. You don't know if that date is going to work out and you're going to marry that woman. Go all in.
I'm all in. I'm with you. I'm all in now because this team is likable.
Not now. That's the key thing.
Not now. The Easterby times. Come on, brother. During the Easterby years and the Bill O'Brien years, it was kind of hard to be.
Disagree. I'm agreeing with you there, but I'm just saying.
It was hard.
We are fake. I agree, but you still believe 1,000,000%.
I still want to see
I don't give a damn if it's the bad new Bears.
Yeah.
That's why. Don't give yourself a soft spot.
Okay.
If they suck.
I'm all in. You know what? Gary, you got it. Let's go. Texans are winning it all this year. Thank you, Gary. I needed that pep talk.
I heard
And if they fall short, guess what? You suck, Texans.
I heard
Is that?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to sound like, I guess.
Yeah, die hard, baby.
I heard Sean Mapes say earlier today, he was talking about some draft prospect. Him and one of our interns were talking. He's like, I don't know. That guy's not going to be there with the 32nd overall pick.
So come on.
He's already thinking Super Bowl for the Houston Texans.
Sean, that's who Gary's talking about.
He won't say it on the air.
Soft landing Sean.
Yeah, he was like, they're going to go to Super Bowl.
AJ, are you in? Saluki, are you in? All in?
He's a Cowboys fan.
On who?
On the Texans.
He's a Cowboys fan.
No.
Did you grow up here?
Yeah. Geographic location does not matter. You can pick whatever team you want to.
Not if you have an NFL team here. Don't give me some sad story about...
They were like, actually created the year I was born, too, like a little bit before, but that doesn't matter to me.
See, like, that's where, like...
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Free will.
Saluki. No, it's not free will. It's just fanatic. It's fandom.
All right. Let's take our break here. Let's be joined next by Eric Garcia, the president of... Raheel, help me out here.
Fury Fighting Championship.
Fury Fighting Championship. I knew I had the Fury part.
Yeah,
but
you got it.
The other part. All right. So that's coming up next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George and Raheel Ramzanali here with you until 6 o'clock. Thanks again to Eric Garcia, the founder and president of Fury Fighting Championship, for joining us. If you missed it, you can go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We're going to post that interview. Raheel will be tweeting that out. At the Raheel?
At the underscore Raheel. Forget that underscore.
I know. There's an underscore in there somewhere.
Which, man, I hate the new Twitter. Not because, like, Elon changed it all up and, like, services. But now, when you try to at somebody, you better know the exact handle. Like, usually,
it's hard to find it.
It's hard to find. Usually, you could just kind of get a ballpark and it'll come up.
Yeah.
Now, it's impossible.
I do think what happened over the weekend was very funny when they put the...
explain it, yeah.
Where these accounts were created from.
Mm-hmm.
And also how many times they've changed their branding on there. So, like, you see all these aggregate NFL accounts are, like, based in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been, you know, seven different names. And the next thing I want to see is, like, I wish there was a way to show which ones have been, like, bought.
Like sold to somebody?
Yeah, like Dove Climate, right? Like, that account used to actually be a person.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not. Now he sold it to someone else.
Yeah.
They're pretending to be him, and they're aggregating all this NFL stuff.
Oh, man. I would love to see that. It was hilarious over the weekend.
People were freaking out.
And they removed that feature now because people started targeting a lot of one side of the political spectrum and where those accounts were coming from. Mm-hmm. And Elon was like, now we're disabling this now.
Yeah.
That was the best thing. Yeah. It was great to see. Like, Joe George's account, your account is based out in Croatia, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like, who knows?
It was funny. I had to check mine. I actually don't know how to check it.
Well, you can't now, but all you do when it was available, you would just go to the person's profile, and then you just click on the location.
Okay.
So, like, you see how mine says Houston, Texas?
Yeah.
So, I just click on Houston, Texas, and it was giving me my whole bio. Like, I've had my account since 2008. It's never been changed. It's been the same handle. It's been the same crap for 17 years, mm-hmm. right? And now you can't. The feature's been disabled. Like, why?
Yeah.
I guess unfortunately, people are gonna get called out. We want to see it.
Yeah, it was funny. Like it was funny to see it. They also tried to sneak in the way you like your following. All of a sudden, like I looked at my timeline, and it was all out of whack. Like, it wasn't in order.
Yeah, that's consistent
anymore. So, like, you can change that, but, like, I don't know. Twitter's fine. It's just such a dying.
It's dying. That's platform. I'm glad you said that. I texted that to a friend the other day during the Bills game, right? One of my favorite things is to get on Twitter when a game is on because I watch at home. I like watching alone. I don't like going to watch parties. I'm not going to hang out with you. I just want to sit at home, be around my kids, my family. And when they go to bed, I turn on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like talking some, you know, smack. And I like putting out content, reacting to content, all that stuff. Because you're watching with everyone then, mm-hmm. right? And I don't have to talk to you. I can go eat my own snacks, use my own bathroom. It's great. Twitter was dead on Thursday night. In fact, I looked up Google Trends for the past week. The Bills-Texans game in the sports Houston Google Trends wasn't even in the top five.
Jeez.
That's sad. That's weird.
So sad. Yeah,
like it should be something that we're all excited about.
It's just not. It's I don't know. We see it like on like a from like a behind the scenes part of it. We see the difference that a video makes on like the impact it makes on Instagram and Facebook versus Twitter, and mm-hmm. it's almost comical. Like it's just a dying
mm-hmm.
platform. Like you're not seeing people have these like big numbers on Twitter that they have on other platforms. Like it's changed so much. And speaking of Thursday, I mean we've got a couple texts here about CJ.
I'm all right.
Curious your thoughts on this because people keep asking, you know, this text, what game has CJ played this year that makes you think he's the better option? D'Amico Ryans was asked today if CJ is the starter when he's healthy, which I can't believe we're still asking these questions.
The Niners game?
The Niners game.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. The Ravens game was pretty good. Like, I don't know. Every game compared to what, like Davis Mills has had some good moments. I don't want to take anything away from Davis Mills because I hate this the way this conversation has to turn into is bringing down Davis Mills. Davis Mills did his job adequately. He got you three wins. Like, if you look at the first half of, you know, or even the start of the last game versus the Bills, he's, what, 1 for 8, 1 for 9 to start the game. He's inaccurate. He's not making big throws. He had Dalton Schultz for a touchdown. He threw it behind him. Now, he's making plays when it matters. He has the game-winning rushing touchdown. The throw to Higgins, you know, the touchdown in this last game was great. I can't believe we're even having a discussion about C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills.
I can't, because here's, it's not, I don't, okay, for me, it's not a conversation about, like, is C.J. good or bad. It's that, can you get somebody else to fill in that gap and be a quarterback, and this team still wins games without thinking about the eventual, you got to pay this guy a lot of money. Are you going to pay him, how much is it going to be for CJ?
Probably 60.
$60 million?
Yeah, probably.
And it's something that potentially, right? Like, look, this is a small sample size. We've seen, we've seen the Davis Mills starting experiment. It wasn't good, all right? So we've seen that. But let's say if you get an average quarterback, maybe you get a journeyman who comes in, will he be able to get the job done? Probably. Right? Is that bad to say?
No, but like,
probably, because this team is stacked.
Yeah.
And that's with this current build. Look, you might lose some guys. You got to pay a lot of people. There's a lot of things that are going to change in the upcoming 2 years. But I get the argument from people like, is this worth $60 million?
Yeah, that's where I think like the people aren't using, they're not making that argument about why Davis Mills over CJ, but I think that's like what it all goes back to.
Yeah.
Like it all goes back to like, are you going to pay him $60 million?
I think that's it. Right now, no, you start CJ. You start him. And let's say CJ stinks it up in the first half. Do you pull the trigger and put Davis Mills back in? Or do you just ride with the CJ ship?
No,
that's the more interesting question to me.
Yeah, I think it's CJ no matter what. Like,
okay, you're going down with the ship with CJ. The CJ ship, that's it.
Because I think you have to make that decision. And I don't think Davis Mills has played well enough to enter that conversation. I think you have to be significantly better than CJ Stroud to become the starter. And to me, he's been nowhere close to that. He's been fine. Like he's been good enough in the last three games, but like the Texans' flaws are the same with Davis as they are with CJ. Like you can't score in the red zone, you can't score in short yardage situations. Like those to me are not a reflection of CJ; they're a reflection of Nick Cayley and Nick Caserio for not building an adequate offensive line, for not having a play caller that knows how to get the ball in from 1 yard line. The Texans still this year only have one touchdown when they only have less than 2 yards to go. That's it. One.
Wow.
That's like the entire season. That's crazy. So like they can't do the most simple thing possible, scoring from 2 yards out. And so like that to me is why I don't understand why there's this conversation. And I talked about this on Friday with Will Kunkel. Like it's the one thing being here for 11 years that I don't understand about Houston sports fandom. I don't understand the love and obsession for these mediocre players. Mauricio Dubon, I know he's a two-time utility gold glove player, but people are having these mental breakdowns about him being traded away that like I do not understand that they're not having the same reaction when Bregman and Tucker and Springer and all these guys.
Oh, no, people were having the same reaction?
I think
people were upset.
I think it's worse. I think people are more upset about Dubon.
Dubon's the heart and soul, baby.
I know, but like it's like it's
or what's Jeremy's thing about Correa being a leader? Can't pay him for that.
And you have this obsession with Davis Mills. And you have the people who are obsessed about, you know, Usman Garuba and Josh Christopher and these guys. I'm like, why are we so obsessed with these, like, mediocre players? And, like, when they're cut or not That's starting. Like, I don't understand the
it's
love
a human element thing,
for the mid people.
It's a human thing. It's like, I was there first. Like, this is my guy. I told you Dubon was the best thing. Or I told you Garuba was the best thing. Or I told you Davis Mills was the best thing. Is being able to say, like, no, I was on this before you. And while you're going with the mainstream, I'm going with the counterculture. Mm-hmm. That's a human thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a Houston sports thing. I think it's more human element.
Yeah, that's maybe. But, like, and the quarterback thing's a little bit different. Because, like, the quarterback thing happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, Shador got his win this weekend. You know, good for him. I think we're gassing up, you know, the longest touchdown pass of a rookie this season because it was a screen pass. A little bit too much, but
you see how he set him up, the hips.
Yeah, set him
perfect
up.
Perfect ball
now,
placement.
He threw a deep ball that was really nice. Like, but like it, that, the quarterback thing's a little bit different because like it happens in Chicago, happens in Cleveland, it happens everywhere. You always want the other quarterback. I mean, hell, we've seen Cowboys fans at times want Cooper Rush over Dak Prescott.
Cooper Rush is still on the Cowboys?
No, he's on. He's with Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
But like,
who's their backup, Saluki? Who's y'all's backup?
Joe Milton.
Who?
Joe Milton.
That's my insurance broker. What are you talking about?
He's the Alabama?
With the right? Tennessee.
Tennessee, that's right. Yeah. I always forget. The Alabama quarterback.
Stop lying. You just made up a name.
No, I swear. Google him.
I'm messing with you.
But yeah, I just don't understand. Like, it's CJ's the quarterback of this
team.
He
is. But you do have, if you were the franchise owner, right? Or if you're the GM, and let's say you saw something, you're like, man, is he worth $60 million? Because I think is the big decision. Of course, CJ's better than Davis Mills. And whoever's saying that Davis Mills is better than CJ, you're just trolling, which I appreciate and I'm for it. But let's be realistic. Like, CJ is the better option. But is he a $60 million option? And that is a conversation that's okay to have. That doesn't mean you hate the Texans. That doesn't mean you hate them and you want to see them lose or anything like that. It's just a conversation you need to have because teams need to be built correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a quarterback that is you're paying that much and he's not playing at a $60 million worth, then you basically shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, like we're seeing what's happening in Jacksonville right now. Like Trevor Lawrence is making $55 million and
that's crazy.
Terrible. I can't believe they won this weekend. Like he was not good in that game at all for them. Like I would never.
Oh.
And I wouldn't want to pay them. Same thing with Tua. Like CJ's eligible for his $60 million contract or whatever it is, 57, whatever ends up being this offseason. I wouldn't pay him right now. I would not do it. I would make him play next year, see how much better it gets, because like he has regressed. Mm-hmm. So like to that point of the conversation, like I would not pay CJ Stroud right now. I would wait until next offseason, see how he plays next year. And I also wouldn't be afraid to like go into the franchise tag. Like if Lamar Jackson can get tagged, CJ Stroud can get tagged.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason why that can't happen.
Bring it back a little bit. Get some team power back.
Yeah.
It's okay. I get it. You want to do the right thing and you want to make sure your guy's happy, all that stuff, but there's a reason these protections are in place and you got to take advantage of it. I'm with that as well.
Like, yeah.
Hey man, don't rush this decision because it can change your franchise.
Yeah. You got to make sure you get the right guy. And like, and like, if you don't want to pay CJ, it leads to more conversations about like, who is your quarterback? Cause his agent is David Mulugeta, the guy who forced Deshaun Watson out of Houston, who forced Jalen Ramsey out of Jacksonville and Los Angeles. Like he's the power broker of the NFL right now. So like, if you don't treat CJ well, could he demand a trade? Sure, like it's possible, but like I would cross that bridge when it comes time. Like I would not pay CJ right now at all. Like I would want to see another year, like, and maybe with a third offensive coordinator. Even if the Texans make the playoffs this year, I don't think Nick Caley's the guy. Now, what do we all know? Because everyone and their mother wanted Chip Kelly this offseason, and he just got fired yesterday by the Las Vegas Raiders.
So, give him a call, Sarkisian. Call Chip Kelly, bring him up, get an OC.
Great decision.
Bring an offensive coordinator. He'll never do it. He's too egotistical to do it.
That would be a great.
And after he beats A&M this weekend on Friday, he's going to be like, you want me to change OCs? I just went 9-3. I just had how many top 10 wins? And he's been playing much better.
Just had 6 touchdowns?
Arch had a receiving, rushing, and throwing touchdown in one game.
You got to do it all sometimes. Let's go out. AJ, we'll combine breaks here. So let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Let's go out to Lamont. Lamont, what's going on, man?
So let me is that Raheem?
What's up, Lamont?
Yeah. It is.
Raheem.
What it do,
player? Raheem. it's good to hear you all, man. But let me start by saying
Lamont, you know, hold on. Before you start, Lamont, I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't seen you on X for a while, so I apologize. I don't know if we unfollowed each other or something, but there was a chance. I was like, is Lamont dead? So I'm really happy to hear your voice say you're alive and well.
Come on, man. I hit you about a year and a half ago when you was on a Texas day tripper.
A year and a half ago. It's been that long. So a normal person would be like, man, I think Lamont's gone. So I'm glad you're alive. This is a Thanksgiving miracle for me, Lamont.
You put dead on me. Wow. Say, man, that's what's up, man. But I love that episode with the Texas day tripper.
I appreciate
when you was on there and you was showing him around. But to go back to what George was saying, I was flirting around with that OC from Las Vegas, but I really wanted Josh McDaniels, and voila, look at them right now. They like 9-3 or 10-2. I don't know what the Patriots are right now, but that's who I wanted. But my other point was with all of these people, and you guys may get mad at me about this, but I think this is a whole bunch of media stuff too, with this whole Josh versus Davis Mills. I'm thinking you guys are going off of trolls that are bringing up this stuff. And all thing I want to say is, if C.J. Stroud performed like C.J. Stroud as a starter performed like Davis Mills these last three games, we would have some big freaking questions right now. But the fact that Davis Mills is a backup, we're giving him a pass, and it's all good. That's all good. Davis Mills didn't do anything spectacular. He had a couple of ones or twos the quarters in games, but it's nothing. I just say it like this again. If C.J. Stroud did what Davis Mills did the last three games, and he got the dub, we would have some very serious questions right now. And that's all I have, fellas.
No, Lamont, I think it's a great point. Like, if C.J. was playing this way, like the $60 million conversation, no one wants to pay C.J. Stroud if he's playing the way Davis Mills played. Like Davis did his job. He earned every single penny he's making from the Houston Texans, all $7 million, I think it is.
He did right backup now.
Like,
stuff.
He's doing great. Like, I think like Pro Football Talk, I know Mike Florio, like, a lot, most people don't like him. I don't really like him. Like, he put out a story about how, like, will teams be calling about Davis Mills as a starter this year? And I'm like, why?
I hope so. That's what you want for your backup quarterback. Like, if you can get a fourth rounder, fifth rounder, third rounder, I don't know what the backup quarterback trade talk is right now, but that's what you want. That's ideally, that would be great. Like, you Brock Osweiler'd it, right?
Yeah. Like, if you can, JJ McCarthy, that guy, he stinks. But like, if the Minnesota Vikings call you and say, hey, we'll give you a third rounder for Davis Mills. Okay, sure. Cool. Like, go find another backup quarterback. Like, but Davis Mills also could have gone into free agency before signing this last contract, and he chose not to. Mm-hmm. Like, he chose to take a contract with the Houston Texans, his second contract with the Texans. That to me also means like he knows there's not a market for him as a starting quarterback, even as like a bridge quarterback. Like, he's not better than like what Ryan Fitzpatrick used to be. Like, he's not that guy. He's not that bridge guy that leads you to your rookie quarterback. He's not the guy that, you know, the Jets bring in this offseason to start for two games before Fernando Mendoza takes over as the starter. Like Davis to me is just a pure backup quarterback.
Old school backup quarterback. Yeah. You just, hey, and you know CJ, unfortunately, is going to get hurt. And how about the fact that what if he suffers one more concussion? And then it's your team.
That's a great question. Let's hit on
that. I hope it never happens.
But like, let's hit on that.
Prayers up, prayer emojis, all that stuff.
We talked about that a little bit last week. And like, let's talk about like it's the reality of what's going on with the Houston Texans right now. Let's get to the next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, car loans, prices, they're getting out of hand. $48,000 is the typical car price right now. And people, the way they're coping with this, they're handing out seven-year loans. They used to be 3 years, 5 years. They just keep adding and adding and adding. The payments are high. The leases are long. You're getting the negative equity. None of that is a good thing to have. D&M Leasing, they're here to solve that problem. With 49 years in business and over 50,000 satisfied customers, D&M Leasing offers the easy lease. No money down, lower monthly payments, and flexible terms that make sense for real people with no payments happening until 2026. It's almost 2026, so get on that right now. All you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 today. You will work with them. You'll work with one person. They will go over the leasing process. So if you've never done it before and that's why you're hesitant to it, that one person, their leasing agent, is going to walk you through everything, the mileage, all of that stuff. They're going to make it nice and easy for you. When it's time, they will get you that car to you. They'll bring it to your house. They'll bring it to your office. And they'll take your trade-in as well. Just check them out right now. DMAutoLeasing.com or call 713-290-1000 today for no payments until 2026.